Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This ends the reading.
At this time, I've asked, I asked Heidi a while back, but this is the time we're going to present it to you. You can come up, Heidi, and I hope you're back there and ready. Yes? I think we are. Come on up. I think the microphones are all on. You can turn that one on. Here, I'll give it for you. Just give it to me. Scott, there you go.
So we would like to just share a little bit about our experience taking the gifts down to Bethany. So we have a number of people here that would like to say a few words.
Okay. So we met here in the morning. Sorry. We met here in the morning that we went on Christmas Eve. We met here and we packed up all the things in the kitchen and then we... we brought them out to the cars, and then we drove down there. When we got to the house that we went to, which was the Valencia Ward family, we pulled up, and we could see all the kids looking through the windows, which was super cute, and my mom walked up to the front door and just handed them their basket of snacks and treats. And then we walked in with huge containers of presents, and the kids' faces were just lit up. It was super cute. And the mom had told us that she wasn't going to do Christmas for her kids that year, so they didn't have a tree or anything set up. So the kids were just super happy because they hadn't seen that before. When we walked in, they handed us these cards. Each one of them made one for us. They say a bunch of different things on them. It's just super cute. They were thanking us and our church for what we had done. The mom was super happy, too, to see her kids like that. And then we had actually told her that we had helped her with her rent, and she just started crying. She was so blessed and so happy.
I think the biggest thing for me was kind of like how close to home this stuff all hits, because when we went to the Vinton family, they actually have a member of their family goes to my school, so I didn't know anything like about his situation or anything, but you see these people every day like in school, and you never know, someone right next to you could be like a person who is in need and you wouldn't know about it. And like, he was texting me later thanking me and saying how he wasn't even expecting anything for Christmas this year. Like, they were going and just going to, like, celebrate like it's another day, like, go to church and have fun with, like, celebrating Jesus, but they weren't really expecting anything as gifts-wise. So I think that's the biggest thing is, like, you don't really know anyone, like, what their situation is, so you got to take everyone as they come and, like, see maybe they do need help with something or just be open to helping anybody.
So we went to... the David King family we had packages for, and we also had packages for Deanna and Kiana's family. And our experience was just a little bit different. The David King family, we weren't going to actually go to the house to deliver, but we met at Bethany Church, and we had the pleasure to meet Pastor Iconi, who then came with us to deliver to David King's family. And Pastor Iconi is such an amazing man. there was this large group of Burmese people having a service at their church when we were there, and there were people just walking all over in the streets. And when he came out to the car to meet us and to call David King and go meet them, he just was pulling, you know, he pulled one kid over and he said, "Where's your coat? You have no coat." He goes, "Go to my office and I'll give you a coat." And then there was a lady who was walking who just had flip-flops on with no socks. And we happened to have, with some of the things that we were giving just to Bethany General clothing fund, we had a bunch of socks in there that I knew. So I told Pastor we had socks, and he was going to walk through the church and just give people socks who needed socks. And he has such this heart for the people in that area. It really touched me. When we went to the Deanna and Kiana's family, Alyssa will talk about that because like Henry said, you just don't know until you go into the situation how little these people have. And for me, I was completely humbled because we have so much and we take it for granted. And I don't know what Alyssa will say, but hopefully she'll explain how just taking for granted even the simple things that we have every day in our homes.
Okay, so when we went to Deanna and Kiana's family, they're sisters that live together, and none of the kids were really home. The only person home was Deanna herself. And we kind of pulled up, and I don't really know, like, where we were bringing it up to. They kind of lived in, like, this little apartment just off of this main highway. It was very, like, dark. There were a lot of stairs going up. And when we first got up there with all the gifts, they didn't have, like, it didn't feel very homely. There was a couple air mattresses and a TV, and the only thing she kept saying to me was that how thankful she was because she wasn't able to give her kids anything this Christmas because she had to catch up on her rent. And she's also a huge Packer fan because she was telling me how excited she was about the game that day. So we had a nice talk about that too. But the thing that really, I just felt really humbled and blessed because I didn't realize that they weren't going to have like Christmas, and I was looking forward to being with all my family and stuff, but that they were all very excited to get some gifts that year too.
So when this was all brought about, I had the feeling from the beginning that we were going to be front row seats to a miracle, and I think we truly were. And I think for me, the miracle was really twofold. I was so blessed by watching the response of our congregation and the response to God on his call to us to give and to love people that we didn't know. And that was truly a blessing to me. You know, just, I think I was in tears the whole week before when we were packaging and wrapping, just knowing how much this congregation responded to what God was calling us to do. And then the other side of that miracle was truly seeing these families, these people who didn't think they were going to have Christmas. And they just, we kept bringing in these packages and boxes full of presents, and the kids and the parents were so thankful. And Valencia Ward, who we helped with her rent when we told her, she just grabbed me and hugged me, and, you know, just the emotion with it all. But there's so much more because God is working in this church, and God is working in their church, and God is working through these people. Valencia had her children baptized the week before we came. And so there are things happening, and God is moving, and we are just a small part of that, and it's so wonderful to be able to get a glimpse of what God really is doing. We're going to show a video that kind of shows some pictures of that day. The song that it goes with it is called Noel, and Noel actually means Christmas or first Christmas, and I think sometimes it even means birthday, which is kind of appropriate since it's God's birthday, Jesus' birthday. And the other phrase in this song that just I absolutely love is come and see what God has done. And it just touched me because come and see what God has done here in our church and in Bethany Church. And this isn't the end. We are going to continue to connect with Bethany and see where God can take this and what he can do between us and them. So,
you Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No.
We could watch it a second time. It's I'd like to invite the children to come down. Did you see that on the screen? All the things that God allowed us to share with those people. That's what we call a Christmas miracle. I'm going to give you a candy cane. I don't know if you like candy canes or not. But it's a candy cane in a slightly different shape. It looks like this. And it's a Tootsie Roll Pop. Do you know what a Tootsie Roll Pop means? For me, it means the best part is always in the middle. Because I like the Tootsie Roll Pop. The outside, I kind of go, all right. Now, there's two ways that you get to the middle. I think you know what they are, right? First one, if you can get it open. Can you show me the first way? Come on up. Show me how you get to the middle. Lick it. Just start licking it. Lick it. Look. There you go. Work hard. You just can't bite it. Another way to get to the middle is a little bit different. No, you don't get to bite it. No. I'm not painting it. Oh, these suckers are tight. I didn't rehearse this ahead of time, so I have to learn all this and shame myself in front of you. Oh, my goodness. The second way, some of you are going to say, is to bite it, right? Yeah. Didn't work so good. Anyone a piece? Thank you. Now I want to talk about the fact that God wants the sweet part on the inside of us to come out. The chocolate part, like a Tootsie Roll Pop. And you can see little pieces of it here. There's a little piece here. See it? I hit it too hard. It broke, and it didn't break this to show. It broke the whole thing. Because that was really hard. But that's the sweet part he wants to come out. And I want you to understand something really important. When we let God work in our lives, he's very, very gentle with us. But every once in a while, he sometimes has to take us and smash us against the wall. Do you know what pride is? You ever heard the word pride? Can you tell us what it means? Can you tell us what it means? Pride means I'm so good. I'm so much better than everybody else. Pride is making yourself so good you think you're better than everyone else around you.
No, God's better.
Amen. Sermon's over. You preached it, sister. And sometimes God's wanting to be very gentle, because guess what? If he works on this a little bit, guess what he's going to get to? The chocolate sweet part. Okay? But sometimes we don't want to let that sweet part in our life come out. And God has to take us and wake us up, right? Yeah. Well, I want you to go at this sucker very slow, okay? So that by the time I'm done with the sermon, you're in the sweet part, okay? And if I think of it again, I'll have you hold the sucker up and you can show me the chocolate part, okay? You just start waving it when you get to that point. Can you do that for me? Because God wants that sweet part that he's put inside of you, which is God in us, to come out. And so that's what we're seeing if we can learn how to do. Now, if you don't want one of these, you don't have to come up. But if you'd like one, here they are. Grab one. There you go. There you go. For what? Who didn't get one? Here, hon. Well, give it to somebody else in the family. Give it to your brother. Anyone else? Here, Dad. Oh, thank you. You can have the. Remember that scene in Scrooge or the Christmas Carol, where I can't remember which spirit it is. I think it's the spirit of Christmas past, and Scrooge is making something about the fact that the man who ran the business where Scrooge worked spent a few extra shillings or whatever it was at Christmas time to throw a nice party for everyone. And it wasn't a lot. They had a little bit of extra food, a little bit of drink, and a few things around. And he threw this big party, and Scrooge had been so, he'd get like this about Christmas and parties. And so the spirit says to Scrooge something like this, "Yeah, what a waste of good money." Something close to that. And the Scrooge goes, "What do you mean? That's just a few farthings. Think of all the happiness that that brought those families." And Scrooge becomes his own judge. He now condemns himself, but it comes out of his mouth, right? He goes, "How can you say such a foolish thing? That little bit of extra giving has produced so much good." You go, "Oh, is that what it is?" And if you watch it as you get older, there are these little subtle things in the book, in the play, in the movie, whatever one you want to watch. Some of them stay, some of them get removed for different reasons, but that you start to see this kind of learning that lesson of letting that giving, that releasing, that needs to come out. You know, we didn't always know the people that were going to be blessed, but now through the testimony of the kids and Heidi and through the witness of the presentation and the slides, we start to understand there were real life people receiving the blessing of that release of whatever God was doing in your heart to break free and bring the sweetness out. In other words, one of the things that I want you to understand is it's within the framework of each one of us, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, there is a sweetness of the Spirit, and sometimes he's confined on the hardness of what is on the outside of us. And the hardness of what is on the outside of us, like the candy shell, has got to be broken open in order for the sweetness of God to be able to be reached, touched, and manifest itself in people's lives and experience. And so part of what I'm wanting to talk about today is how badly God wants to pour himself into and be released through. So I selected this section in Ephesians, and if you turn there with me, we're going to go through it together. I thought appropriately that this opening phrase, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." I thought of you guys. I thought of my church. I have different pastoral friends and different individuals and different people I talk to at different times, and sometimes there isn't a lot that they can say or whatever about good, and sometimes it's really kind of neat to say, "You know what my church did? This is what the people did, and this is the blessing coming from, you know, the need was raised, the gift was given, the blessings were poured out on people." And I remember talking to one of the people, you know, at Christmas, you kind of go to different parties and see different people. I was talking to an individual. I said, "Well, where are you fellowshipping now?" He told me the name of the church, and he said, "I love the church." I said, "Well, that's cool." He said, "You know, want to know why?" I said, "Of course." He said, "Because the pastor believes in miracles." And he looked at us, and he said, "You guys are going to understand that this word is real and miracles are real, and I am going to stretch you and encourage you." And he just goes like that. He talks to us like that. I said, "How cool." I said, "I want to meet him." Okay. And he said he brought in this man, and this man had been working on a large truck, and for some reason had raised the truck up, and the truck came off the jack, and it crushed him dead in the middle. I mean, literally, even today, he is compressed, I guess would be the best word I could use. And they said they thought he was dead. In fact, by definition, he was dead, and he proceeded to go on and on and on because this man came to their church and gave a testimony and said, Jesus is alive and God is real, and proceeded, he said, and we were all challenged. And not only did the man get brought back from the dead because they estimated he had been crushed for an extended period of time before they could get the large truck that had fallen on him off and everything else, but everything inside of him had literally been crushed. And so they ended up removing everything, all of his small and large intestine, or at least all of his small intestine. And he said, by the miracle of God, he came back. And this is his testimony. He said, the doctors in Madison have the testimony and the witness of it. And he said, we had opportunity to read some of the documentation and the news reports and everything else. And then he proceeded to say, and then he said, they began to pray over this man because he had no small intestine left. He said, God put the small intestine back. I go, really? Doubt or faith? Wagging my finger at me. Really? He said, yeah. He said, they brought the articles. They brought the doctor's reports. They brought the hospital report down. And it said they had to remove his entire small intestine. And after they prayed for him, a huge portion of it was restored, given back out of nowhere. I said, wow. Now, when you and I are challenged like that, there's a hard candy shell around us. Really? Right? How hard is it? No kidding. Now, this man is not an individual who's given to flight of mouth or any of that stuff. This man saw this person, heard his testimony firsthand, saw the evidence that he brought, and he said, you don't understand, Pastor Herman. I believe. I saw it. I talked to him. I saw the x-rays. I saw the things that they presented to us. It's documented. It's there. You can go and see it. And I go, do you hear the fire? Do you hear what's going on in his voice? The shell's broken. The candy or the outside hard part is gone if he ever had it. And he was just, I'll call him just a normal run-of-the-mill Lutheran. Good or bad? That doesn't make it bad. Just kind of like lots of people. But now he's not like that. Something took that shell and shattered it wide open. And the sweetness of God is pouring out of this man at a level that I personally had never experienced before, in a way that is so filled with fire and testimony that he is going, and I can't wait to go to church to hear and do what God is calling us to do. He said, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Do you understand? To hear that kind of fire is where God is calling us to. And it isn't a fire that has to be pretended. Oh, I'm so happy. Jesus saved me. We're not looking for anything fake. We're looking for the fact that here we are in a Christmas conversation, and I just ask him, where are you at? How are things going? Where are you fellowshipping? And he just explodes with his testimony in the fire of the Lord Jesus, poured out of every pore of his mouth and his testimony. This man who, by some definitions, I would say, I was kind of concerned with sometimes. I didn't know for sure where he was at. Walked away from that conversation with no doubt at all. And so we start to look at this and we go, I heard about your faith and your love of the saints, and I can't stop giving thanks for you. Now, I want you to know that is sometimes how I feel toward you and toward my congregation. I was talking about another pastor, and he was telling me, guys, people are nice, but you can't do anything with them. They don't want to grow. They just don't want to go anywhere. And he started to cry. Not pretend cry, real cry. He said, I don't know what's happening to me. He said, but I'm so emotional. You find myself crying. He said, I'm crying for my people. I'm crying for different things. And he said, they don't get it. They just don't get it. I haven't stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Do you think you know him? Ah, you haven't begun. I haven't begun. Every time I'm listening to, I listen to books, I'm listening to Mere Christianity, and this thing, I just go, oh, I never heard that before. And I never heard that before. And it's like, I've been listening to this book probably 6 times already, and I go, I never heard that. That is so good. And you begin to understand that's what the relationship with God is like, where you just all of a sudden look back at the same text you've read before and go, I never saw that. I never understood it that way. I never heard that before. And it's because I am not the same man I was yesterday. A little bit more of my candy shell has either been licked off by the mercy of God or busted off by the justice of God. But it's starting to let the chocolate, the sweetness, the center of what God has put in me to come out in other areas of my life. And there's so many areas yet that still have the shell hindering what God wants to let out in my life, in areas with people and circumstances. You saw a moment in time when you and the Lord and the invitation was extended through Ron and Heidi and whoever else all were involved in that, and the opportunity was, would you help make a difference in these people's lives? And in that instant, I go, do you understand the blessing you've received already from it? The testimony I've been able to give? The testimony hopefully you've been able to give? You go, oh my goodness, our little church raised $9,000 plus to give to these people in need. You know what? Any of you miss any calories this Christmas? Maybe we should double it next year, huh? So then you don't have to watch the Weight Watchers commercials that come on. Always after Christmas. You notice that. There's every other commercial, every other thing on the radio. Don't you want to lose weight? You go, yeah. Too bad you ate too much this Christmas, right? I want God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I'm going to find out if I can bring this man in. I don't know who he is, but I'm chasing it down. If I can bring him in to give his testimony, I want at least one of you to go screaming out the door going, oh my goodness, I've tasted some of the power that God wants to pour into us. Do you understand? When we meet and interact and watch it change, the individual change in one sense in front of your eyes, and you see the enlightenment, as it says here, I want you to be made enlightened, enlivened, like, oh, I've never seen it before, enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which you were called. And God keeps whispering, I'm bigger, I have more. You've only begun to taste it. I have more. I will open the floodgates of heaven
invest in me, and I will pour out blessing upon blessing. Out of all the things Henry did this Christmas, one of the things that mattered was his little testimony he gave you. Because his eyes were opened. Something touched him in a way that this sermon won't, and my words won't, and maybe none of us can, but the Spirit of God just spoke right through him. And you could tell when he was giving his testimony, the Spirit of God said, "What'd you learn, Henry?" He said, "Right there, and you heard it." And you begin to understand God works in those moments to accomplish far more than we can possibly ask or imagine. Do you think I could say, why don't we all open our eyes and notice the people around us because they have needs too? Now, I could have said the same words. They wouldn't affect him the same way. But when he said it, it affected me. When he said it, it touched my heart. When he said it, I began to realize that even some of the kids I go to school with, you don't always know their story. You don't always understand their need. And God blessed him. Here it is. I want you to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they will know you better, God, so that you will be enlightened and your eyes will see what they've never seen and understood before, and that you will know the hope to which you've been called and the riches of his glorious inheritance and the power that he has for us. We have to understand that there is this working that God wants. Remember, I said to you, I'm hearing this testimony about this guy who'd been crushed, and he said he lifted up his shirt. And he said, "Look." And he said it was so gross, some people had to look away. He said, "But look, this is really what God saved me from." And he started, he goes through the whole testimony. And I just sat there with that hard candy shell shouting, "Hit me again, Lord. Hit me again." I can intellectually nod my head, but God's saying, when was the last time you prayed with that kind of commitment and fervor? When was the last time you understand it became your testimony? And I go, "Lord, those are the testimonies that I want in my life, and I know you want them too." Because you want to be able to walk out in faith and step out in that obedience and do those very things that God is calling us to do. So the challenge in front of us that we're looking at, he said, to know you better, know the hope, know the riches of the inheritance, and the unbelievable power that God has in store for us. Some people like to think, you know, I've learned all there is to know. And I go, I don't know how you could. I'm not even talking just scripture, just a day-to-day walk. Just that moment by moment, the opportunities that we miss every day where you go, oh, I should have said something. I could have witnessed. I could have made a difference. I could have given, you know, like Scrooge sitting there looking back on his life. I could have, remember the scene at the end? Have you ever seen the movie where the man who rescued all the Jews or so many of the Jews, help me, what's it called? Yes, Schwindlers. That's the Polish name. Schindler's List. They're thanking him. These Jews are walking up to him. "You saved my life. Thank you." And he looks down at his, he had a gold watch and a ring and a diamond. He said, he tears the ring off. He said, "I could have bought 5 more people with this." Takes his watch off and he said, "This would have been another 7 or 8 people." And he goes through this process going, how could I miss this moment when I was living it out? And they were unbelievably thankful for him because he saved so many people. And they're not trying to make him feel guilty. But what happens to him is he gets touched and his eyes are enlightened and he becomes aware of what he could have or had the opportunity to do. That's the nature of what this verse is challenging you and I about. The challenge is not to make you feel guilty. The challenge is to get you so excited you can't shut up. The challenge is not to walk going, "Oh, I'm so bad." The challenge is, I noticed, I responded, and God has blessed this situation over and over and over again. That's the testimony that he wants in our lives. And so we begin to understand the riches of his hope, the power that God has poured into our lives, the walk that he wants for us. And so the challenge for us is to deal sometimes with the hard shell. Now, I don't know what makes up your hard shell, but a hard shell is made up of all kinds of things. Doubt, sometimes just plain stubbornness and pride. You know, I'm a guy, this is the way I look at women, and this is the way I do this stuff, and I've been like this all my life. That's hard shell. This is the way women are going to be. I do this because I'm a woman, a woman's entitled to. Hard shell. Well, what do you want from a teenager? You really want us to get along with our parents and treat them nice? Hard shell. Right? We all know it. It isn't a big mystery. Everybody can see it in your face, in your actions, in your behavior. They can see the difference between the sweetness of God coming out of your life and actions and the hardness and compromise and the self-justification and the rationalization of why it's okay to be this kind of man or this kind of woman or have this lust or that attitude or whatever it is and justify it. And God says, I'm calling you out of that stuff. I want to give you this wisdom and revelation. I want to pour into your life what you have never seen before. I want you to understand it so that you are set on fire to give testimony to an old preacher when he walks up to you and says, where are you fellowshipping? So that he can pass it on to his congregation. So that one day he may be able, God willing, bring the same guy in to give the same testimony to be an encouragement to you and I. To take on the challenge of where God's calling us to and what level of commitment he's looking for and the kind of blessing he's still trying to pour out into our lives. We're not trying to create guilt and shame. We're trying to take that candy shell and either lick it to death. You got it ready, kids? Hold up your chocolate. We got a couple. Very good. One's gone. No stick. You ate the stick? Oh, good. Good. You understand? The sweetness of God wants to come out. You haven't begun to be sweet enough yet. And you are sweet. I brag about you guys all the time. But we got a lot more sweetness to come out. And we got to let it be God's sweetness, not our sweetness. You know, the next time the giving comes, you go, I want to be generous. And then like the churches my kids talk about sometimes, the first offering plate was, that was good. Now I'm going to pass it around again. Let's dig a little deeper. All right? And they pass it around again, and they get their hearts right. They pass it around the third time. He said, now let's practice sacrificial giving. Way outside the parameters of what you're comfortable with. And let's put in there what is way beyond our comfort level and see what God can do. Not in giving alone, but in every area of our life. God wants to outgive and pour into your life more than you'll ever know. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for these brothers and sisters, and I thank you, Lord, for the Christmas miracle you worked through this congregation, and for the blessings that was poured out on families and individuals, and for the testimony shared today, and for the truth, Lord, that you are more than able to accomplish them. Things that we can't even begin to comprehend. And we pray, Lord, that in the middle of our lives of busyness and struggle and good and bad, Lord, we would continue to be called forward until that hard shell around us is just removed and the sweetness of your mercy, grace, and power and revelation is poured out. Teach us, Lord, how to be broken and humbled. Teach us, Lord, how to be trusting and faithful. Teach us, Lord, how to love and forgive and show mercy to wives and husbands and children to parents. Teach us, Lord, how to walk in the power that has been unlimited, given to us by the work of the Holy Spirit, until our testimony and our statements and our faith are real and on fire. Help us, Lord, to speak well and highly of you in every situation we're in, until we are overwhelmed by the goodness you pour out back into our lives. Come and use this day for your glory, Lord. We praise and thank you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.